I'm David Marcus, host of Drinks with the Deal, and today our guest is Andy Levine, the head of private equity at Jones Day in New York. Andy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
We're going to talk about several things on today's podcast. First of all, a little bit about your background and how you developed a practice that includes both M&A and private equity, kind of the differences between those two practices and how you balance them, what you're seeing in the markets now, and what you're seeing in your own office in terms of a return to work and how that may change the dynamic for both partners and associates. And then finally, a little bit about what you do outside of work. So with that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to have the practice you do.
Sure, happy to. So I grew up in Pittsburgh and went to college in Chicago and got out of college and wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. So I took a year and worked a bunch of jobs that didn't actually require that I had a college degree and thought about what I wanted to do. And ultimately, like a lot of people, it's a story as old as time. I ended up going to law school just because I didn't know what else to do. I had always liked the idea of being district attorney or attorney general. And so my plan was go to law school and then become a DA. And at the last minute, really, in my third year, I started to add up the math on my student loans and how that was going to work on a salary for an assistant district attorney up in Boston, and got cold feet about it, and also got cold feet about staying in Boston. So I started interviewing in my third year in New York, mainly because my brother lived here, and this was 98. And the job market was very good. We were in the lead up to the dot-com, what ultimately became the bubble, and the supply and demand was such that interviewing at the last minute of my third year actually cut in my favor. So I came to Jones Day. My original plan was to join the litigation group, do that for a couple of years, get some experience, pay off my loans, and then go back to the reason I originally went to law school was to work as an assistant district attorney or assistant attorney general. And the way Jones Day was set up at the time and still is, that first year is, it's not a formal rotation, but you get the opportunity to work on a lot of things and you're kind of fair game for where there are needs. And I got staffed on an M&A deal about, 3 or 4 months in, and immediately got hooked. And I've been doing a combination of M&A and PE ever since. And needless to say, I did not leave to go into public service.
And so as you were an associate and then a younger partner, did you always have a mix of M&A and PE? And how was that different then? In the late 90s, early aughts, when the PE practice was much less formalized than it is today.
That's a great point. And I think it was probably easier to do both back then, almost accidentally. It was 98, right, when I got out of school. PE was definitely in full swing when you look at what private equity started as and what it's become. It was mature in 1998, but definitely not as ubiquitous as it is now. And it wasn't as developed in terms of a law firm practice as it is now. And I think most firms, ours included, just kind of treated private equity as a subset of M&A. So when I got here, everybody who was a transactional lawyer was an M&A lawyer. And depending on individuals' client bases, it was part of your practice might also be doing some LBOs in addition to corporate type M&A, public company M&A. And I always like doing both. They're very similar, but there are differences. And I always had it in my head that I would end up, I think, a more well-rounded lawyer by doing both and having as much experience as possible. Late 90s was sort of the beginning of my career, but was kind of the tail end of the old school generalists, right? So the folks we were learning M&A and private equity from at that point were people who started in the 70s and were doing old school hostile tender offers, but also doing capital markets and corporate governance, and RISA statutes had just come out. So all of those folks knew a little bit about everything. And so when I started, things had started to specialize, but at least as between M&A and PE, it was still pretty mixed. There's good opportunity to do both.
As you train associates and mentor younger partners, what challenges does the vastly greater specialization of corporate work raise, both in terms of getting a broad set of skills and in terms of having a practice that people are going to find engaging for a 35 to 40 year career?
Yeah, well, I think you're dead right about the specialization, and that's a much broader point than, you know, are you working for corporate clients or private equity clients? I mean, that's everything. And part of that is just, you know, legal work has exploded over the last 20 years, that there is so much work and so much need for expertise in various areas that if you want to specialize in something, there's enough work to keep you busy full time to specialize in almost in anything with any type of practice from the perspective of a kind of practices that big corporate law firms have. So that's this overall trend, I think, which influences people. I mean, my perspective on this is that people ought to be doing the kind of things they want to do, right? And so if somebody comes out of law school, they're like, I want to be a big public company M&A lawyer, or I want to be a pure play LBO lawyer. Well, I think they ought to spend more of their time on that. I do try to guide people a little bit that I think, look, you know, you'll be better off in 15 years if you have, at least at the early part of your career, have seen a bunch of different types of deals so that you're not lost when something comes up and you've seen things from different angles. And I also think it's really beneficial to clients to have lawyers who, if you're representing a sponsor, but have done a lot of work for corporates, you know kind of what's important to them and what's important on the other side of the table and vice versa. So I try to encourage it a lot. I'm not sure I would stand here and say this is the right way for everybody to be, because I think if you focus on one or the other or any other practice, the sooner you get into it and the more time you spend on it, the faster you're going to become an expert. And maybe that's the right path, depending on what you want to do. I've just always been in the camp of, I didn't love one more than the other enough to push the other off to the side. And I like parts about both of them. And I think it's made me more well-rounded for sure.
How would you compare the two practices? As you said, the work is quite similar. You're drafting a contract, but the clients themselves can be very different.
Yeah, for sure. The deals are not all that different. I mean, there are a few nuances. The sponsor side financing piece is different than you'd get with a corporate buyer. You got different stakeholders, right? They care about different things. The rep and warranty piece is a little different on the sponsor side and the corporate side. So it's not the plumbing, it's about the client difference and how they approach things. And again, dealing with a sponsor, you got a handful of folks, you know, and they've basically thought through everything. There aren't as many people that you need to orchestrate, right? They don't have a whole in-house tax group or benefits group you need to handle. So it's a different deal dynamic. And then on the corporate side, you know, you have much bigger groups of interested people at the company, right? You've got an entire tax group, a benefits group. You've got to think about how senior management's thinking about this. You got to think about how the board's thinking about it. There's generally, you know, depending on the size of the deal, there is a reality that things are going to be viewed through a stronger lens on the corporate side, right? Because you're doing a deal for a company that's in the public markets and you have shareholders who are going to think about it. And so there's a lot more of like big picture, I think, considerations, and the deal process is a little bit different in terms of how you're dealing with it. But part of the reason I like about it is there's fun parts to both of those and you build different relationships and it's nice to jump back and forth and think about things through different lenses.
And then what are you seeing now in both of those markets, private equity and M&A?
You know, I think you talk to most people and most people will tell you, wow, it's a big slowdown this year. Or that's the feeling, that's sort of the headline. And it is a slowdown from 2021, but you got to keep in mind, 2021 was the all-time record. It may be the all-time record I see before my career is out. And so, yes, of course, there's been a drop off from 2021, but 2022 has been a strong year by any other measure. I would say corporate M&A has slowed down. I think that's driving the lower numbers. There was a lot of corporate M&A activity in 2020, 2021. And I think everybody expected there would be a little bit of a lull at the beginning of this year just because of how strong last year was and how last year ended. I mean, we basically had two fourth quarters last year. You know, there was the normal fourth quarter, which is always busy. And then there was the third quarter, which felt like the fourth quarter because so many people were trying to get deals done in advance of what they thought was going to be a September 30th tax implication. And so it is a good deal market this year. I would say if you're doing purely corporate M&A, you're probably having a quieter year than you did in the last couple. I mean, obviously, you know, the SPAC market is completely gone, right? And that was driving a fair amount of work, at least through the first quarter or so of last year. But private equity has been pretty busy. You know, the high end, and I mean by deal size, you know, the upmarket private equity slowed down a bit because of the challenges in the high yield financing market, but the mid-market PE is still going strong. And that's the vast majority of deal flow anyway. The financing terms haven't gotten that much worse. The prices are holding pretty firm despite what's happened in the public markets pricing. And so I think, you know, you're looking at a situation where the corporates were kind of looking at things and said, all right, we got Russia now, we got inflation, we did a bunch of deals. Let's sit back for a little bit and see what happens here rather than stick our noses in it. And that's a good opportunity for sponsors because there's less competition and they still got money to spend. So it's been a pretty good year.
And then in terms of office life, what are you seeing there? Obviously, Jones Day, like a lot of firms, is seeing certainly more people in the office than you would have seen at the height of the pandemic. How are people responding to that? And what challenges and opportunities do you see that as presenting?
Yeah, I've been really focused on this week because Monday I came in and that was the first time on the train that somebody sat next to me. And no one has sat next to me since whenever I started coming back in May of 2020, because, you know, for a long time it was because there weren't enough people on the train. There was plenty of room. But and then that sort of morphed into, well, they still didn't want to be too close because of COVID. So I'm viewing that as the litmus test for the need for work from home is behind us. You know, it's interesting, right? 2020 and 2021, where people were, you know, in large part working from home, were probably two of the best years law firms had, right? And it's kind of amazing when you look back on it and say, like, no one would have ever thought we were all going to pull that off in those 2 years with the idea that people weren't going to be working together. And so it's kind of amazing, but, you know, it's not sustainable, right? This is a law firm, and same for other law firms. This whole process is built on apprenticeship, right? And people learning from other people. And in order to really do that, you know, go back to when you were a young lawyer and I was a young lawyer, like we learned that by sitting at the desk of, you know, a partner who was working on something, and you mute the phone and you talk about things and you put your head into someone's office and you ask questions. Just so it was much more social dynamic pre-closing. And so there's a tendency, I think some people look at what happened the last couple of years and say, well, look, if we had these amazing years, and maybe this is how it should be going forward. Maybe we should have a hybrid model or whatever. You know, what I'm excited about is that people are coming back, but we haven't really scratched the surface on getting back to the part where 100% of the people are in the office all the time. And the younger people who sort of learned how to work from home during COVID are now going to have the opportunity to see how it works when people are social and together. And so this idea that we've been, candidly, everyone's been fighting with one hand tied behind their back, and now we're untying the hand, so everyone's going to be together. I actually think the opportunity for growth and development of the younger people in the next couple of years who've done a fabulous job working under these challenging circumstances in the last couple of years is going to really be impressive.
And it sounds like obviously you were socialized in a world where everybody went into the office every day and probably, you know, if you had to work after hours, you did that in the office. You probably came into the office on weekends, at least in the late 90s. But it sounds like you yourself really enjoy just the socialization of the office.
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, to me, that's always been the beauty of this job and the beauty of, and you know, any person who's at their firm and are happy would say it about their firm, but I say it about Jones Day is that, you know, is how interesting is it to look at a merger agreement 150 times. Like there are nuances to it and we enjoy the work and all that kind of stuff. But what really makes it enjoyable is being part of a team and working with people that you like to work with and seeing younger people develop from getting out of law school and not knowing anything about the practice of law to becoming high-end deal lawyers and partners or moving on to an important job at a private equity firm or in-house counsel at a corporation. So it's 100% about the people. If you took the social aspect from the business permanently, like we had for peace, at least at the beginning of 2020, you lose what keeps you here and what keeps people interested. And I mean, most people have been coming back anyway, but we're at this inflection point, I think, where you look across New York City, most people are coming back full time. And I think there's going to be a learning curve and a positive learning curve for the younger people, unlike anything we've seen before. And it's coming at a time when you look at sort of the associate ranks, and I don't just mean here, but I mean, I see it on the other side of deals where the associate ranks are really strong. There's a lot of young, really motivated people who want to be a part of something. And this is the perfect time now because we're all about to be part of it again because everyone's going to be back in the office. So I think the next year is going to be a really exciting time for personal development of lawyers.
And then finally, tell us a little bit about what you do outside of work.
Sure. Well, I'm dealing with an emotional issue here, which is I just took my firstborn to dropped him off at college about 10 days ago. So our family is trying to navigate life without him. But my time outside of work is spent pretty much every minute I can do it. It's spent with my wife, Liz, and my two kids. Again, one who's off to college, but one is still at home. She's a junior in high school. And I mean, in terms of hobbies, I'm probably the only, certainly the only lawyer, but maybe the only guy over 45 who's picked up both snowboarding and golf in the last 5 years. So I got one for the summer and fall months and one for the winter months. And one is emotionally painful, that's golf. And one can be very physically painful, which is snowboarding. It's a lot of fun. I picked it up because my son was a skateboarder and he was dying to learn how to snowboard. So I said, all right, I'll learn with you. Obviously, he picked it up a hell of a lot faster than I did.
Andy, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
For Drinks with a Deal, I'm David Marcus.